Jaina Solo sits alone in the cold, her knees drawn tight to her chest and her arms wrapped around her legs to conserve body heat. She is 14, and she hasn't slept in days because her captors flood her cell with harsh bright light at odd intervals. She has never been so hungry, and her body aches from the daily beatings her tormentors call training. She knows what they're trying to take from her, and she refuses to surrender it. But she is alone, and frightened, and in more pain than she has ever before endured. And her will is a strand of spider silk holding a crystal chandelier. One more beating, one more sleepless rest period, one more hour spent shivering on a bare Durasteel bunk, and she may drop that chandelier. And that scares her more than dying, because it means submitting to her fear, embracing her anger, because it means turning to the dark side. Then, the place in her heart that belongs to her brother begins to warm, and she knows Jason is thinking of her. She pictures him, sitting in his own cell in another spoke of the space station, his brown hair wavy and tousled, his jaw clenched with earnest resolve, and the warm place in her heart starts to grow. She stops shivering. Her hunger fades, and her fear turns to resolve. This is the gift of their twin bond, that neither Jaina nor Jason is ever truly alone. They share a connection through the Force that will always sustain them. When one grows weak, the other strengthens. When one hurts, the other soothes. It is a bond that cannot be broken by any power in the galaxy, as much a part of them as the Force itself. So Jaina puts aside her despair and turns her thoughts to escape, because when she and Jason work together, nothing is impossible. They are on a space station, so they are going to have to steal a spacecraft. They will have to find a way to deactivate the hangar's containment field, perhaps through sabotage or by forging a launch authorization. And that means they are going to need some time before the guards realize they're gone, especially since they have to free their friend Lobaka before fleeing. The only way to tell time in the cell is to count heartbeats, and Jaina is too busy planning to do that. So when Jason's place in her heart begins to grow larger and more full, she has no idea how much time has passed. But she has felt the sensation thousands of times before, and she knows what it means. Her brother is coming. Jaina's pulse begins to pound with excitement, and soon she can feel Jason's pulse pounding to the same rhythm. He's very close now, coming down the corridor outside her cell, and she cannot sense any other presences accompanying him. Then she feels him stop, two cells away. "Not there, dummy," Jaina thinks. "Keep coming." There is a flutter in Jaina's heart as Jason grows confused, and she worries that her brother is about to open the wrong cell and ruin their escape. She reaches out to him in the Force, trying to physically pull him toward her, and soon the control pad outside her cell door begins to click. Jaina breathes a sigh of relief, then folds her arms across her chest and leans back against the wall. She knows this is going to take a while because Jason is really bad with machinery. Somehow, though, he deactivates the alarm before he unlocks the cell, then manages to unlock the cell without activating the intercom to the control center. Finally, the door hisses open, and Jaina sees her twin brother standing outside, smirking at her with a replica of their father's famous lopsided grin.
"Hi, Jaina," he says. "I don't suppose you'd like to..." "What took you so long?" Jaina demands, interrupting her brother's fun.
He's always making jokes and wisecracks, and they're always lame.
"I've been waiting for you."
She slips off her bunk and steps through the door past him, then looks down the corridor in both directions, searching for guards or other signs of trouble.
"What now?" she asks. "Have you figured out where Lobaka is?"
Jason flushes, then drops his gaze to the floor.
"Not yet," he admits. "I was sort of hoping you might have a plan."
Jaina smiles.
"Of course I do. Didn't I say I've been waiting?"
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Legacy of the Force, Invincible, by Troy Denning. Read for you by Mark Thompson. The tunnel descending into Nico One's transportation warrens was typically verpine, square, straight, and lined with so many tubes, ducts, and conduits that it was impossible to see native rock. It was also crazy clean, in that maybe the Hive Mother has a problem kind of way, with a spotless smoke blue floor and gleaming aquamarine pipework that made it virtually identical to the rest of the passages Jaina had seen during the tour of the asteroid's defenses. Even with her force abilities, she found it impossible to tell exactly where she and Boba Fett were inside the insect colony, and whether they had any chance of rejoining the Mandalorian garrison commandos before stormtroopers began landing. Just a standard hour earlier, an Imperial Remnant flotilla had unexpectedly arrived from hyperspace and made a feint toward the asteroid's primary loading docks. Half an hour later, a full planetary invasion fleet had arrived and pounded Nickel One's surface defenses into slag and dust. Soon, the actual troop drop would begin, and even the Verpine entertained no hopes of repelling it. The only question was where the Imperials would land first. An urgent drone rose ahead, and the bitter taint of Verpine alarm pheromones grew thick in the tunnel's muggy air. Their guide, a thick-limbed insect with the spiked carahide and heavy mandibles of the soldier caste, started to walk faster, and Jaina began to worry that a swarm of frenzied warriors would mistake her and Fett for the enemy. After a few moments of descent, the alarm pheromones grew so thick that Jaina's eyes started to burn, and the force sizzled with the excitement and outrage of thousands of insectoids. The drone ahead blossomed into a dull roar, and then the tunnel opened into the worst ped jam she'd ever seen. Swarms of thick-limbed Verpine with spiked carahide and reek-sized mandibles were pouring into the main transportation depot, climbing over one another or using their shatter rifles like plow blades as they crowded into the cavern from a dozen different directions. Jaina and Fett's escort pushed into the writhing mass and was immediately shoved first one way, then the other. Soon he became almost indistinguishable from the rest of the Verpine mass, even to Jaina, who as a former Killick joiner could tell the insects apart far better than most humans. She grabbed hold of the guide's ammunition belt and held tight, using the force to shoulder aside any warrior who tried to slip between them. When they had made no appreciable progress after 15 seconds, Fett butted his way to the guide's side.
"At this rate, the Imperials are going to be inside before I can post my men. Is there another way to the command bunker?"
The guide rocked his tubular head, thinking, then blinked his bulbous eyes.
"We might be able to cross the surface."
"Forget it. You've got clearance from the High Coordinator. Tell him to make a hole."
"I am, but the enemy has launched its first swarm of assault shuttles, and 1,000 other combat directors and several battle coordinators are also demanding the right of way. We all have Priority 1 clearance from Her Maternalence."
"I thought your kind was supposed to be organized."
Fett pointed across the vault toward a loading area that Jaina could barely see through the swarm of huge insects ahead.
"That our tube?"
"Yes. Down Yellow Express 50 seat, but they are running low on passenger capsules, so we may need to switch."
"So we need to get there first."
Fett squared his shoulders and started to shove ahead, but Jaina had anticipated his impatience and was already using the force to hold him back.
"Ladies first," she said, gliding past. "Now that you're ahead of state, you might want to learn some manners."
She began to clear a path, her hand moving back and forth ever so slightly as she sent Verpine warriors tottering aside or stumbling to sudden halts. Fett grunted and followed close on her heels, with their guide, Osos Nisguin, peering over both their shoulders in astonishment. A couple of rib-battering minutes later, they emerged from the swarm onto a yellow loading platform and found themselves teetering above a 2-meter drop into a transportation tube. At the bottom, Jaina could see translucent.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?